Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back with our episode 8 predictions and power rankings. Today we're joined by Rick Devins, the only man that it would make sense to have come on for this episode because he returned from the edge of extinction his first time out there. Everybody loved then that when that happened, and then it was maybe 5 episodes later and he was the most hated man in America. So thank you, Rick, for coming on now and not 5 episodes from now when everybody would inevitably hate you again.
You know, it's people want you to succeed until you succeed too much, and then, then they turn against you. Yeah.
Yeah. How dare you keep playing the game?
I'm excited to be here. Thank you guys for having me in this weird world. It's nice that we can hang out this way.
I love it. And I'm so happy we were able to get you for this episode because we had messaged you a couple weeks ago. And we're like, we're thinking it would be 2 weeks ago or last week. And neither one of those really worked out. And now we're all under lockdown. So we're just sitting in our houses anyway. So what better week, right?
I mean, it's perfect timing. Yes, perfect. Absolutely.
Well, so what are you thinking about Survivor Winners at War so far? And how do you feel Edge of Extinction in the first half of the game has been used better or worse maybe than how it was used in your season?
Well, just as a fan of Survivor, I've loved this season so much. It would have to do a lot to disappoint just because I love every single person on the show as a character. I don't know all of them personally. But man, it's been good. Like, there have been a lot of twists and turns pre-merge. I can't believe Old School took it as hard as they did. So I'm totally into it, and I'm very ready for the merge, and I'm very excited about someone coming back from the Edge of Extinction. Yeah, what you said, what am I surprised about how they're using Edge differently?
I was asking, what do you think they're doing better and maybe worse on Edge than what they did your time?
I have balled in on fire tokens. Mm-hmm. I was a
I'm
fire
into them.
Right? They turned out to be kind of cool. Like, I'm really interested to see where we go with this.
I think they're great. And I said this to Alexa off air, maybe it was on her Patreon podcast, but I feel so bad Yule went home, not just because Yule's an awesome guy and just like the nicest guy in the world and such a great strategist, but I feel like you took away his toy before he got to play with it because he was so excited about the idea of fire tokens and what fire tokens were going to do for the game. And he's already thinking about it. What am I going to do with these? And I feel like he would have been such a great like ambassador for fire tokens. Now I'm still totally sold on the idea of fire tokens. And I think that it's really working on this season, but how cool would it have been if we could have seen Yule really get to use them post merge? I feel like we took his toy away. It's not
fair. I feel like we already got to see how excited Yule was. And so did the rest of his tribe as he was very open. Like, surprisingly open with his strategy about the fire tokens. What did you guys think of that? Like, I thought it was really interesting because I'm going, if I was going to give Yule my tokens, like definitely I'm not now because he just kind of gave it away. Were you guys surprised at how much he gave away there?
I was pretty surprised because I think his thought process is correct. And I think it's something everyone's thinking, but the fact that he actually verbalized it and he's this, you know, known as being super smart, I think you put those together and they freaked out.
And I think, too, if you think about Yule's first time playing, we'd only had one super idol before that. It was Terry's. Terry really never had to use the super idol because he won every immunity challenge. He just kept winning, winning, winning. He was a monster. But then Yule didn't win every challenge. Ozzy won every challenge. And so Yule had to use this super idol, really the first person to have to use the super idol strategically. We saw what he was able to do with that. Now he wants to be the first person to try to use the fire token strategically. You cannot let him get his feet wet in the game there because he's going to be too – and I think like Michelle and Nick – are they going to, is Michelle really going to be working with Wendell further down the line? I don't really think so, but I do think getting rid of Yule probably makes more sense than getting rid of Wendell because one, Wendell's not going to use the fire tokens as successfully as Yule was going to, or at least not try to use them as successfully. Yeah. And I also think that right now Wendell has put himself in a position where he's probably not getting much favor from the other players out there, whereas Yule definitely was and was kind of the surprise. And he's talking about Penner and Penner's wife. And there's so much for people to be like, man, we got to give this guy the money.
Well, you know, but then you got to think that like every advantage in Survivor is a disadvantage and every step back is an advantage. So you look at Wendell and it's like, you might say, wow, he's rubbed some people the wrong way. I'm going to take him all the way to the end versus Yule, who you'd say, wow, he's doing this for Penner. There's no way I'm taking him to the end. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you look at it out there totally differently. And I wonder with Wendell and Michelle, that has been such a weird relationship. And Wendell's my boy. Like, I want to be upfront. Like, I love Wendell. But I have never talked with him about his Michelle relationship. So I have no idea what the background is or how it plays out. But I look at it as she invested in him a fire token. Then she voted with him. And I just wonder how much... If there's anything we're missing in interviews where Michelle and Wendell are going, we're playing up to the camera that we're not getting along. Now, we're seeing in interviews that Michelle's not happy with Wendell when Noah's around. So I don't know if that's a thing, but it just seems like Wendell is too smooth and smart for Yule to be making those bold statements. I mean, Yule was a Wendell basher this week.
Yeah.
He really personally went after Wendell in ways that I was like, wow.
Wendell and Michelle seem like they're getting along fine on social media. They've obviously buried the hatchet at this point. And we, knowing Wendell, I mean, all three of us have met Wendell. Wendell's a very good guy. I mean, you know, he was there for your finale, I believe, or for at least the after.
Yeah, he was.
Or the pre, whatever it was. And you walk right up to him and he'll talk to you about anything. He's a really, really nice guy. Granted, I've never dated him. So maybe he's not as great when you date him.
Well, that is your loss.
We dated briefly. And I gotta say that he was nurturing. He was supportive.
Did you date?
But I did think it was bigger than he thought it was.
Did you date or did you kick it? Because I've heard he has an issue defining those two things.
Honestly, it depends on who you ask.
So you think you dated, and he's saying you just kicked it. Yeah,
you read between the lines. Absolutely. Well, no one except my wife has ever admitted to dating me.
that's a fun fact for everybody here, Rick. So that'll be all over Survivor Reddit, you know.
I heard Wendell and Rick have a thing to dating him.
That's right.
But so what else are you thinking though? I mean, before we get into the power rankings, how else are you feeling about this season? I know we've lost a lot of the old schoolers, which is obviously a bummer for huge fans from day one, like all three of us are. But how are you feeling about just the level of gameplay and everybody out there?
The level of gameplay is amazing. I think it's been really cool to see people who were disrespected before this season, like Michelle and Sophie and Denise to a lesser level, but Denise wasn't, I think, put on the tier of some of these winners, come in and just like be dominating this game. Sarah is another example. It's been so funny to see some people like Tony adapt and how that's worked out. Some people like Boston Rob not adapt, but to see how it worked out and how much of an impact it had on the game. And I don't want to get back into the Edge of Extinction debate. I hated that debate. But I will just say there have been times where it's taken away from what we see in camp, but I'm so happy that we've gotten to get an Ethan storyline, that we get to see Parvati still, and Tyson, and the peanut butter, and Rob be amazing Boston Rob, finding like three of the four fire tokens. Like, I think those have made Edge of Extinction totally worth it up to this point. I'm biased. I love Edge of Extinction. What about you guys? I don't know what your takes were. You guys weren't as anti-Edge of Extinction as many.
We weren't as anti-Edge of Extinction as many. However, this season we've been pretty anti-Edge of Extinction, especially that one where they were going up and getting the logs and bringing them back. That just went on for way too long. And I love Ethan.
Yeah.
Love him.
But that was a long
one. Wow, that went on too long. I mean, that was like 10 minutes of a 40-minute episode. That's just too much time.
Especially when everyone ended up doing it.
I know.
So it's like, it can't be that impossible of a task if literally everyone did it.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, I mean, we weren't completely against it. I think it has its spot. I think this season's Edge of Extinction, no offense to anybody who played on the first season of Edge of Extinction, is much better than the first. Like, I feel like they didn't really know what they were doing with you guys yet.
1 second, I'm texting Reem.
Yeah,
because I gotta say, there's no one that's showing out in Edge of Extinction like Reem Daly.
I never said anything about the characters. This was more about the producers. I felt like they didn't know what to do with you guys. And I feel like when you were out there, it was just kind of, we're here, we're sitting here, this sucks, this sucks, and Keith and Wendy, what are they gonna be able to hold on? Whatever it was, now they actually feel like they have a game plan for Edge of Extinction. I think the fire tokens, like you said earlier, really does play into that, although I do think fire tokens will be very successful on future iterations of Survivor, even without Edge of Extinction.
Well, and I'm really curious to see what these castaways that are on Edge of Extinction say about it, because I think pretty universally with our season, with the folks that were on Edge of Extinction, like, the worst thing was how bored you were. There was nothing going on. You felt like you were ignored by everyone. Whereas it seems like these folks have a lot more to do, which I would love out there. Like, as much as doing the logs up and down the hill would be really, really hard, anytime you have something to do, I'd really appreciate that. So it'll be interesting to see what they have to say about that. If there's still a lot of board, and I'm sure there is. I mean, these challenges only take so long. And the fact that you're getting clues about fire tokens, I would think would make you not be looking all the time. Like, I'll wait for the next clue. So I bet there is a lot of dead time, but it does seem like they're a lot more in the, they feel like they're a lot more in the game than we did. We felt like we were forgotten about. And I thought that that's what producers loved about it.
Yeah, I think they did for your season, but I guess with this season, especially now with like who's on Edge of Extinction, definitely going to just be giving a lot of influence to that. I think regardless, they were going to do that. But this whole season and this whole cast and preseason, they were just trashing Edge of Extinction, which I have done too. And I'm curious to see in like post-game press what they say about it and if their opinions change.
I loved after episode one that Natalie had changed her tune.
Yeah, Natalie was like, I'm down with it.
Yeah. And I gotta say, what a showcase it's been for Natalie. I mean, if she had went home first, we never would have heard of her again. Like, I mean, not like within the context of this game, but she's great. And she's been awesome out there.
It could have very easily went the Tina Wesson way, where she's phenomenal, gets voted out first. We don't hear from her for 20 seasons.
Yeah.
And then she comes back and we're like, damn, I wish we would have seen Tina again. She could have been on Heroes Villains or Fans vs. Favorites or something. And like, I think Natalie, I think what Edge of Extinction does, and ultimately, if you're the producer of a TV show, your characters are what make you your money. That's what brings people back. People come back to Survivor. People didn't start watching Survivor in the beginning because of the challenges. They watched it because Rudy was ridiculous, and Rich, and Sue, and Kelly, and Colleen. That's why they watched it.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I think if you look at it and you say to yourself, well, man, we almost lost Rick Devin's fourth. We don't want that to happen anymore. And I think they don't want that. I mean, I always go back to the early seasons. There are some great characters who go pre-merge that just played in an era where there wasn't second chances. There wasn't a returning season all the time. And they're gone.
I think all the time about how much success I had after coming back. I mean, literally, you know, I think I was a good character for four episodes, but like totally forgettable in the history of Survivor. You know what I mean? So I think all the time about definitely how lucky I was to have the opportunity to be on this season, but about all the great characters that we had no idea they were great characters. I mean, some of them were obviously would have been crazy if they'd gone longer, but like, I bet there's people that we saw nothing of and never think of again that man could have been outstanding. So outstanding. Yeah.
And so
when we do know these characters, it's like, you saw the way I played when I came back in. Like, if one of these winners comes back in, it's going to be real interesting because they're going to be an even bigger target because of what Chris Underwood and I did. I think it's going to be even harder for them. So they're going to have to play even bigger probably.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And so, like, that's kind of like a little defense of Edge of Extinction. But at the end of the day, I still think Survivors, it's most dramatic when you get voted off and it's like, oh, we lost it. Like, there's nothing more heartbreaking than James going home with two idols because James is off your TV and you don't get to see him again and you don't know if you're going to see him again. And, like, I think that's the beauty of what Survivor is. However, like, this Edge of Extinction thing, like you said, we're getting the Ethan storyline that we wouldn't have gotten. And, like, I mean, my dad calls me to talk about Ethan. And I'm like, dude, like, you every time that there's a season of Survivor, it's like you don't even watch it. You forget their names. What's the guy? What's the And now all of a sudden you're calling me just be like, did you see what Ethan did? And I'm like, Dad, he's not even, like, really in the game. Like, what do you mean? But that's what people want to talk about because they're doing a great job with the characters they have. I also think it helps that we know them so well.
And I think it's worked out even better. Like, they obviously didn't know there was going to be a pandemic and everyone was going to be caught inside and there was going to be no sports to compete against. But I feel like Survivor got really lucky in the not lucky with the pandemic, but lucky in the fact that this is an Edge of Extinction season with old school players. So that people just looking for something to watch have stumbled back on Survivor and are going, oh my gosh, is that Ethan? Is that Parvati? Like, and the ratings are showing it. Like, the ratings have been really solid for Survivor.
I will never complain.
I will never complain about a season where people, unless I'm on it, when people get voted off and they're just gone. I mean, that's classic Survivor. I love it. No problem going back to that. But if you're going to have Edge of Extinction, I do think this was a great season to have it.
This was the season to do it.
Yeah, and my season because oh my gosh, thank you.
You would not be
Jeff Probst, Matt Van Wagenen, and God in that order. Yeah,
we would not. We talked to Chris Underwood, our first power rankings and predictions of this season. And we're talking to you now. The two of you, we wouldn't have even bothered. You know,
Who are these people?
I mean, you'd have been more likely to talk to me than Chris, but.
Yeah. 1% more likely.
Yeah. I got a whole extra episode after I stabbed that guy in the back.
The amount of texts that I got last Wednesday and the Wednesday before of people who were like, listen, I knew you did a podcast about Survivor, but that show is really damn good. I'm like, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
You've been missing out. So I'm glad that people
That's why Alexa and I spend like 5 hours a week doing this. It's not because we hate it. It's not because we hate it. But so the last thing before we get into the rankings, Rick, what do you think for this person coming back from Edge of Extinction? Do you think they're getting the same advantage you got, which is that half idol, you have to give half of it to somebody else?
I don't. I don't think so, because I think with the with the fire tokens, that's just too much. Like, what if Natalie got that idol, plus she has Sandra and Jeremy thinking good about her because she gave them advantages, plus she has... whatever she buys
she's
with her fire.
She could have bought an idol.
That just seems too top heavy. I don't think they'd do it. They might do it. One thing I'm curious about, I mentioned that like Jeremy and Sandra would be grateful to Natalie. Well, if the Edge of Extinction people think there's only one person back in the game, I wonder how much information they're sharing. Whereas like if Ethan wins his way back in, can he take credit for giving it to Sandra and Jeremy? Or has Natalie kept that secret? So that'll be interesting. But I don't think they'll get the half. Although there have been so many half idols given out already this season, maybe they will throw another one in just to make things interesting, just to make more bonds.
Yeah, and Alexa, we had talked about possibly doing like instead of a half idol because we've already seen that. What if it was like a third idol? I mean, these are winners returning. You get one, and then there's two other people you'd have to give it to. So that, like, it's not so easy because for you, it was kind of you came in, you said, "Hey, David, what's going on? We're buddies. You didn't want to vote me out. This just happened to happen." You know,
it was a no-brainer to go back to David.
And if Natalie Anderson comes back in, she's got a no-brainer going back to Jeremy. So
yeah, exactly.
I would like to see where if we're going to go with these types of players and you are going to give it, although I think you're right with the fire tokens, they probably don't give away advantages. You probably have to purchase them. But if they were going to give it something like a three, you know, you have to break it in the third. So you have one, you give it to Jeremy, and now Natalie's still got to work to find somebody else.
That would be really interesting. And as much as they do have, like, more advantages with the fire tokens, again, because of what Chris did, and because of what I did, like, that's a huge disadvantage. Because they're going to probably – what do you think, Alexa? Are they – I mean, how much bigger of a threat do you think whoever comes back from the edge this time will be compared to Chris and I? Although knowing that all the old school people are out, so
– Yeah, I think they're going to go quickly. I don't know if they'll go home. You got that fly again. I don't think they'll go home this week, but I think – they saw how successful you and Chris were. They're all, you know, what if Parvati comes back? They're going to turn right around and get rid of her. Tyson comes back, they're going to get rid of him. Because the people who are on the edge of extinction are now very unconnected, except for Natalie.
Yeah. But does that, being not connected is the best thing that could happen to them. That, definitely. Like, one of those groups that made the merge needs one more person. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, they got no allies. They need us more than we need them.
Yeah.
That's what I hope happens.
It's going to depend who it is.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at someone like Adam, who has no friends. He is probably going to work with that person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes.
And I think like, going to this, if you look at it, like, Ethan is somebody, if he comes back from Edge of Extinction, I think has a very good chance of assimilating back into the group, because people aren't going to be scared of Ethan post-merge. They're scared of his story, but they're not terrified of Ethan from a social or from a strategic standpoint, which is a good place to be. Tyson, you saw, even though he's an old school player, you saw him win season 27. That's still so recent in your mind. He still had to play a kind of new school game. But I think Ethan could do well to get back in. I think Danny Boatwright could do well to get back in. I think Yule could even do well to get back in, just because there's some people who still want to work with him. They just kind of had to get rid of him. And then I think also Natalie Anderson would do pretty well to get back in, just because nobody really knows anything about her game. I think if you're Amber, maybe you're okay, but I don't think she has any chance to come back in. But I think if you're Parvati, if you're Boston Rob, if you're Tyson, there's just some targets you can't remove. And there's no way.
I think Amber could do really well if she got back in. I don't – she's not at the top of my power rankings in the challenge. Because that is, I mean, we'll get into the challenge. It looks like it's the exact same challenge I did.
I think it is the exact same challenge.
To get back in. And that's a physical challenge. I mean, it comes down to the snake. But there's a lot leading up to that. I mean, on my season, like, Chris and Wendy and I got to that snake way earlier than a lot of people. It was a big advantage, the physical part of it. So it'll be interesting to see. So I have favorites in that. I don't know when you want to get to that. But
I think we get to that a little bit later, just like once we get to that in our power rankings. Because, I mean, even though it's going to be the start.
I'm just along for the ride, Phil.
It's going to be the start of the episode, but I think we got to save a little bit. I know, Rick. I know. I know how this works. We have to feed you everything. You give no good info. We have to feed it to you. Read your script. All right, Rick, who's your number one? And we obviously know, because we told you to put it number one. But who's your number one?
Denise. Denise is my number one. She was my public winner pick at the beginning of the season, and she's done nothing but make me proud. So Denise is my number one.
And you talked about earlier how Denise wasn't viewed really as a huge threat coming into this, and, you know, not on the same level though as like a Michelle, a Sophie, like the disrespect, because Denise, even though her win, people might argue it and say it wasn't so dominant, when she sat down in Final Three, everybody said she deserves to win. There was no possibility that another person there deserved to beat her. Whereas Sophie, you can make the argument for Coach. With Michelle, you can make the argument for Aubrey. But for Denise, there really wasn't that. But what is it that people just completely underestimated about Denise going into the season?
I don't know what other people underestimated about her, because, again, she was my winner pick. But the reason I picked her as my winner pick is I thought she's going to have a lot less ego than a lot of these people. Like, she'll be willing to play along. Not everything has to be her idea. And I've only ever interacted with her, like, on Twitter, but she seems like the type of person that even if she votes against you, you're never going to be so mad at her that you're not going to give her the money. Like, amazing. So I just think that she's awesome. And I think maybe people disrespected her because she didn't have any blow-away moves. She was always even keel. She never did anything like she's already done this season, basically. Mm-hmm. But that's the reason I thought she had the best chance to win, because she'd be low on people's radar, but plays a Kim-like game. Just doesn't need that control. And she is, like, when she pulled that move with the two idols, like, she blew me away. It's like, wow. I picked you to win, and I didn't see that coming. So I'm loving it.
And I think that's how a lot of the Survivor community felt. It's like, okay, we all respected Denise. And, like, when Will and I were still doing this podcast, we both said that Denise was – I think we both ranked her as the best female winner of all time because she won her first time out and how she did it. But – like, that's one of the best moves I've seen on Survivor. The way she orchestrated that, made sure Jeremy was safe, make sure yourself is safe, get rid of a threat to everybody else. You don't get rid of Tony because Tony's not a threat to Denise. You get rid of Sandra because Sandra plays a similar game to you. The woman who gave you an idol, it's just an incredible, incredible move. And still, I mean, Tony last week is sitting there saying, oh, Denise is too big of a threat, Denise too big. And Jeremy and Kim are like, Tony's such a bigger threat than Denise. And it's crazy how she's just going to go right back in and disappear.
Especially when I think she's both physically and mentally, like, perfect for most challenges. Post-merge. Like, her body type for post-merge challenges is great. And I think she's smart enough to do puzzles. So I think I don't think there's any challenge post-merge that I would, like, handicap her poorly for. I mean, she's going to be set for all those.
She has the perfect body for every challenge except for when you need to jump for something that's really high.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Her and Adam are not the perfect people for that one. Maybe just a few more inches.
But I remember, I think she was saying this in the preseason, like after she won Philippines, which was at this point a decent amount of time ago, she started doing CrossFit after. So she's been working out Anderson levels since Philippines. So.
And looks so cut. Yeah. That was a big difference I noticed between Adam and I. Adam posted that, like, he got it, finally. I would have, like, if I missed that the first two times, I want people to forget as soon as possible. Like, I play pickup basketball. Like, I don't want you to think, you know. So I respect that about him. Like, his attitude must be so much better than mine, because I'm just like, that never happened. Never happened. I never missed.
Adam's such an enigma because he's like the most competitive guy, and like even when you meet him in real life, like I was with him and he was playing like a flip cup game and he wanted to win that flip cup game so much more than anybody else. And like if he's doing bad, he'll start screaming and cursing and doing what really sore losers do. But then after it's all over, he's like, and here is the positive ray of light that came out of all of this. And I'm like, how are you doing that? Like, I'd be steaming in the corner for an hour and a half after this. So he's got an interesting take, man. I don't know how he does it, though.
I love it.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to put my winner as number one, too. So I'm going to put Michelle, even though she's got no idols or anything else. Neither did Denise. But, hey, Michelle last week, I get so much crap from Carl. This is what we get for even bringing Carl onto our podcast. I just get crap from the man. And he's like, you're blinded, Phil. You're blinded. He put Michelle down at number 10, but he put Yule at number 2.
I thought you were going to put Chelsea at number 1, honestly.
I was ready to do it again, Rick. All right, let's go. I mean, like,
I wish Alexa had been here for that. Just blew the challenge. Here's number 1.
I listened to that and I was like, oh, dear.
That was fantastic. She killed it.
Next week, the week after, she was a totally legit number 1.
She was. She totally was. But so Michelle, at my number one here, she comes out of that small group where the three guys were on the same tribe to begin, and her and Wendell look like they're feuding, and everything that Rick kind of hinted at earlier. Are they playing this up? Is this really how they feel about each other? What's going on? And she doesn't get a vote. And she should have been the easy boot here, and she doesn't get a single vote. And really, her name never came up. Her and Nick walked through that entire post-immunity challenge phase without their names coming up at all. They were totally in control, and up until that point, we'd never seen them work together. And I just think, now you hit a merge, and who's the least threatening person left in the game? It's Michelle. And whether that bodes well for her to actually win, but she is the least threatening person there, and she's playing a great game. So I have her at number one.
Mm-hmm. I think Michelle's a good choice. I have Sarah Lucina at number one. She doesn't have an idol, but she's one of very few people to play. She has a steal a vote in Extra Vote. I'm mixing that up.
She has a steal a vote.
Yeah.
Jean Silva. He knows what she's doing because she's actually done it correctly before. But I think Sarah is super well connected here. And I think at the merge, you kind of need to be the one who has all the options. She has Tony, who will vote with her and she can hide behind. She and Sophie have been an awesome power duo. I think everyone's going to want to work with Sarah, which is amazing because nobody wanted to work with her preseason. But I think Sarah's looking really good right now.
Completely agree. Have her a little bit lower, but I think she's looking pretty great right now.
Yeah, I like both those choices you guys had. Good job, guys.
Who's your number two then?
I'm really proud of you guys. Sophie is my number two.
Gold star.
Sophie's in terrific position in her little mini tribe. I mean, spoiler alert, Sarah's going to be my number three because they're so close. They each have an advantage. I just picked out immunity over the steal of vote, and we saw that Sarah was a big target early, you know, preseason. So I put Sophie at number two, but like Sarah will be my number three real close after. And those two have been awesome.
So Alexa, we both had Sophie at two as well. So all of us put Sophie at two. Not confident enough to all put her in the number one spot, but what do you like about what she's doing too?
Well, Adam doesn't think she has an idol.
Yeah. Also, that meme that Fairplay posted, which I guess has been going around Survivor of like Survivor changed her life, and it's the little girl just doing
thing.
Unbelievable. And like, she looks
and now
just
she's
like
back again, and it's Sophie. That
so
is
good.
The most perfect meme of all time.
That's the second best word I've seen. Did you guys see the video? I guess it was on Reddit. I saw it because Van Wagenen tweeted it. That is all the people. It's Jeff saying, if $1 million isn't enough, then we have Cochran. And Cochran flies in, and Cochran says, hey, mind if I join you? And all the women go crazy. It's the best video ever.
I can't believe that Van Wagenen tweeted that.
It's so good.
I'll send it to you. It's unbelievable.
I think Tyson might have shared it too for people who follow Tyson. But
it's like, dare we forget that he had an exile yacht?
And what's funny is like all those winners, maybe they would have been into it. I'd have gone nuts for Cochran. I'd be like, ah! Yeah.
I love that. That's fantastic.
I'm not too big to admit.
I don't know how I missed that. We'd all go crazy over Cochran. Are you kidding? Everybody who hates on Cochran, he's one of those people who all these like super fans who hate on Cochran, they'd get out on the beach with Cochran there, and they would just lose their minds immediately, and they'd be like Ben talking to Boston Rob. So
Cochran,
so good.
Cochran and Ben and I share many haters. Yeah.
It's a dream for you right there.
Ben has haters? I didn't know that either. I mean, you're opening up my eyes to
that. That poor guy. How could you hate that guy?
I don't know, man. I really have no idea.
I love him
on everything he's been on. Yeah.
Everybody loves him. And this season, he's been so much fun. I love that this group of four of, you know, Sophie and Sarah and Kim and or not Kim, Sophie, Sarah, Adam, and Ben. I love that they're just like this group of like outcasts having a great time because Boston Rob's gone. Yeah. I love that.
I was just going to say, you always need Ben. You just always need to put someone around him that annoys him.
Yeah.
because he is great as just...
It's like the four of them are pretty much like four people who didn't want to be quarantined together who are quarantined together.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so good.
Hi.
So true.
So my number three, I actually have Kim. I put all the women at the top. So all my women are – I go one through five of the women, and then I go into the men.
Dude, I'm very female heavy at the top. Do you guys – is female an okay term anymore, by the way? Like, I –
what do we say if not?
No one says female. Everyone says woman. And sometimes I think female sounds better, but I absolutely don't want to use it if it's like – if I'm not supposed to.
Alexa and I aren't good at this,
well,
so.
As a token female, I think I'm down with female.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know. I was saying, now we're really getting off topic, but I was saying to someone the other day, I referred to a female. I was like, oh, this is gal. And someone was like, why would you use gal? And I was like, well, it's goofy and I don't know what I'm supposed to say.
That's such an outdated term, Alexa. You should be ashamed of
I know.
That.
It was incredibly inappropriate of man. I'm very sorry to the woman.
That's not offensive.
Why don't you go back to prohibition with that language, Alexa?
We're not far off right now, Rick. We're not far off. I haven't been able to go to a bar in the last week or two.
That's very true.
No, I am. I am loving that our government is still considering liquor stores to be essential businesses.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, man. For everything that, you know, if you think America gets things right or wrong, that's one thing they're getting right. That's
we're all crushing it. No, I think female or woman, you're fine. I think when you dip into girl, then it gets like, oh, they're young. I don't know. Females.
When Michelle said these boys, I love these boys. I love
them. Yeah, she did say that. I noticed that.
For that. She might
I was deeply offended, Rick. That was when I jumped off the Michelle train. I was like, you know what, Michelle?
She has gone too far.
You want to refer to those grown-ass men as boys? That's what you want to do? Yul Kwan is not a boy.
Spread the hate, Michelle.
Yeah, exactly. Can we only refer... Moving on, I'm only referring to the boys slash men slash males as grown-ass men.
Yeah.
There you go. That is what we prefer to be called.
That is.
And my number
I'm a man. I'm 40.
My number four is a grown-ass man... Grown-ass Ben is number four for me.
Good, Ben.
Shockingly, is in a really good spot. I think Goofy Ben is what he's always needed. He is a goofball. He helped Denise get that idol. I think that's something that's always going to keep them connected. He's super tight with our grown-ass women of Sophie and Sarah. I think Ben's looking real good. I don't think anyone's afraid of him.
I mean, I have Ben a little bit lower, but mainly because I put the women all first, and then I put
feminist.
The men lower. But he's in like my top half of the men because, I mean, since his falling apart at the beginning of the game, he's really turned it around. I think he's playing actually a really good game. He's in tight with Sarah and Sophie. They're not just with him because they can get out Adam. I think that they really want to work with him. I think him and Sarah probably have a lot more in common, and we saw them sitting together a lot last week. I think they have a lot more in common than people might think, and I think it's going to help them go really far.
And it should be a reminder to all the people who forgot Ben's pre-merge game last time, which had nothing to do with idols and everything to do with being social. And everyone on both alliances loving him. That's why he was the undercover guy. So good for Ben. I'm glad after a few goofy moments, which I love that he let him narrate his own mistakes and own them. And it was great. Like, I totally agree. He's found his footing. The fact that Sophie and Sarah seem to have clearly picked him over Adam, I think says a lot about the type of game he's playing out there, with the things that we don't see.
I like Rick trying to draw attention. Remember pre-merge games, guys, when you liked me, when you liked Ben.
Ben wasn't voted out number four. His tribe won a lot more than my tribe. We lost every single time. But no, Ben had a much more successful pre-merge game than I did. Yeah. I'm sorry to say. Although, if you look at the episode that I was voted out, people always talk about how horrible I was socially. They literally only voted me out because of how good I was socially.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm talking about me. That's annoying. Should I get to my number four?
Or no, keep going. I'm liking this.
Yeah. Or either way, if you want to make the next 30 minutes about you, Rick, we're here.
Oh, okay. So anyway, like I said, I was a social threat, and they were worried I was going to work. Kelly and Lauren say it right there on screen.
And as terrible as it is, though, Rick, then also you're being considered not good at challenges, and Lauren's the one over there starving while you wing your way back into the game. I mean, I'm just saying.
Win my way back into the game, guaranteed I could have dove down and pulled that thing out and thrown monkey paws. Like, I would have killed it at these challenges. I never yelled at my teammates in the middle of challenges and scared them to death, Lauren. But anyway, yeah, my number four is Michelle.
Your number four, of course.
I think Michelle Fitzgerald was disrespected after playing a great game just because Aubrey also played a great game. I bet if Aubrey had won, there'd be a lot of people saying that Michelle should have won. Like, that's just the way Survivor goes. But she's come back in, and she is kicking it.
With everybody?
She's playing a great game. Like, she's really owning it. She's not... she might be staying in the background, but in a pulling the strings from the background sort of way. I think she's playing a great game. I think she's in great shape. For all the reasons you mentioned, she should have been the easy vote out this week, and she ended up being the one. As much as she said she'll go with Nick, like, I think she probably decided what happened this week.
Yeah, and talking about, like, Michelle right now, and you know, everybody wants, like, Carl last week was like, Phil, of course you're going to put her higher up than everybody else. Did. Like, you just can't get over your infatuation. But, like, what do you put into this as somebody who won and played the game and all that? What do you put into how many times we've heard her say this thing about, like, I was disrespected in my first season, but now I'm proving myself here, and I proved I should have won that? Like, how much do you put into that?
I've been really surprised. Like, people who hate on me and say that, like, I didn't do things, I'm like, I found four idols. I know how hard it was. I won four challenges. Like, I know how hard, five challenges and four of them immunity. Like, I don't care. Like, I played an amazing game. Like, I'll take that anytime. So I've been really surprised at how vulnerable these folks have been and how affected they were by that. And they're, Michelle specifically, so much younger than me as she played. Like, I bet if I had played that young, it would have affected me a lot more. But I love that she's getting this feeling of doing it right this time. And I'm like proud of her, even though that's ridiculous. Like, I'm proud of Ben, even though that's ridiculous, that they feel like that they're doing things better this time. But I want to just shake them and be like, you won. Like, you were great the first time. Like, anyone hating on you wishes they were you. Like, they wish they'd gone out there and played and won. Like, give me a break.
That's just what's so different about Survivor, because right now I'm rewatching from season one on, because we're in quarantine, and so me and my girlfriend, we've been watching from season one on. We just finished season one and we started season two. Back then it was like, let's just win the game. Like, let's just do it. I don't care. Like, I don't care. Tina in season two, spoilers to anybody, hopefully she's not near the door here.
19 years later, spoilers.
That first episode, she didn't even do anything, because she came out there and she's like, well, I don't want to be voted out first. So she doesn't do anything in the first episode. And like, now, because I think what changed is when you have the chance to play again and all of those things, you do want to be a good character. And there's so much that goes into being a good character that so many people want almost more than winning nowadays. But I'm the same way. Like, if I win, I'd be exactly how Adam is. I'd go, I'd tell everybody on whatever social media that they're a bad person and they have serious hate issues. And then I'd just be like, and here's my $1 million. Like, what are you going to do? Like, that's how I would kind of approach it. I am kind of surprised. Michelle, Sophie, even a little bit, Ben, how they are kind of being more vulnerable with their wins. So that's it, Rick.
What did Boston Rob say? He's like, I am the greatest player of all time.
He's on edge of extinction.
Right. And I feel a lot better. Like, if I ever do go back, like, I look at the people that are voted out pre-merge and I'm like, oh, I got nothing to worry about. Yeah. Like I'm not ever going to look at Boston Rob or Tyson or any of these folks differently because they got voted out early because what they did their first season. So I feel a little bad for people like Michelle and Ben, that it seems like they haven't been able to enjoy winning as much as I would have.
Yeah.
Man, I would not have cared about haters at all. But there's a lot of hate out there. It's definitely, there's these loud minority of people that want to make you feel bad about doing what you did. And, you know, I hope that they're not going to base their performance this time on what people outside of them think, because people will turn on them next week. It's just a bummer, but they should know that they're playing great. But they obviously did the first time. They won.
Yeah. And I do think, like, there's something to be said for how Michelle, Ben, and I'm going to keep throwing Adam in here too, because Adam was the focal point of this pre-merge. But I do think that Michelle, Adam, and Ben, there's an argument to be made that they were the three stars of the pre-merge. Like, those three who you're coming into this season saying, how good of winners were they, or did they deserve to win? And personally, I think all three of them deserve to win. I thought all three of them played great games and are super underrated. But they were the focal points of this season. We've seen Adam really change his game.
And Sophie.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, like, these people who kind of had to either change their game or didn't change their game but still wish they had changed their game, it's pretty fascinating how they've played differently and how the editors have really kind of like given them some props after not giving them the props the first time they played. Cause at the end of the day, the editors are the reason we don't think these people deserve to win, not because of their gameplay.
Disagree.
Really?
Disagree. I think the editors do a really good job of showing what happened out there. They never show anything that didn't happen. I think,
they can't put something out there that didn't happen.
You know, the editor showed everything Aubrey did. So if people chose Aubrey, then that's just going to happen. I don't think the editors withheld anything that these people did their first seasons. I think they're coming out this season, and I think that if they'd been boring, the editors wouldn't have done them any favors. Mm-hmm. I think that they are driving the action, and that's why the editors are putting it forward.
Okay, Rick. So now you've defended yourself. You get to play a second time on Survivor. But yeah. but so yes. what I'm more of saying is, like, at the end of the day, if they really wanted to make Michelle like, you deserve this more than anybody else in the world, they would have just shown us, like, they wouldn't have shown any of the negatives of the Michelle, or they wouldn't have shown any of the negatives of the Adam. Because if you look at why did Adam win 10-0, it should have been Ken. It should have been Hannah. He was the idiot who went out there with Taylor and tried to do that with the fit and all that. Like, you hear that all the time. The editors could have easily just cut that, and it would just been like, you know, like, they could have cut that from Tribal Council. They could have cut. So, like, what I'm saying is, I'm not saying the editors do a bad job. I'm just saying that at the end of the day, like, we're basing it more on, like, what we're seeing on TV than how, like, the other people who are actually there playing 24 hours a day feel about that.
I got you. I got you with that.
But I get it. You had to do a little politicking there. You want to make sure you play again. I get
it. Well, I just, no, you know, I love the editors.
I'm just putting that out there.
I absolutely want to play again. Yeah. But, and again, I had a different probably circumstance than most, because the end of the game was so heavy with me. But I feel like it tells the story pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
One experience with Survivor, I'm like, yeah. That's what happened.
That's what happened. Now ask, like, Victoria, Ron, and Julie, and Aurora, and I don't know if they're going to say the same thing, though.
They probably talked a lot, but it was definitely just around camp, mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah? All right. So we don't get you in trouble with your former cast. It's been a year.
It's true. As soon as you said that, it's like, you know what? They would probably strongly disagree.
Text Julie and Aurora messages. Right now.
Yeah, exactly. I can comment on what I saw. I can't comment on what I didn't see. So you're probably right.
Well, all right. So my 4 and 5, I got Denise, and then I have Sarah, my last two females, women, girls. I love where
watch
they're
that word.
This game. And so what's interesting, thank you, Alexa. So what's interesting about what's going on with this merge, normally I'll put some of the females near the top, mainly because they went from maybe being the weaker person on their tribe who seemed like they could go home to now all of a sudden they're in a different position because now they're not the big challenge beast. They're not Aaron. They're not JP. They're not – yeah, I just name dropped JP from 35.
Wow.
Yeah, you're welcome, everybody. They're not –
well done.
You know, like there's so many different, like, normally they'll be able to kind of hide. But this time I put all of the women at the top because the women are playing the best games. Because Sophie has an idol. Kim has an idol. Sarah has an advantage. Sarah and Sophie are tight. Sophie and Kim, even though they didn't seem like they'd be tight at first, now Sophie's closest ally and Yule is gone. Kim had shown her half the idols. Sophie gave it back. Sophie and Kim are going to work together with two idols and Sarah. Michelle's playing a great social game. Denise had one of the best moves we've seen, especially for a pre-merge move. None of the guys have a resume that looks anything like that. And so I'm not doing this like where it's like, oh, they're just the least threatening, like you would do with a Sandra if she made it to the merge. These are the five best players on this season right now. I mean, I just think that's the way it's working out. Right now going into this.
My top five is all women. It's Denise, and then Sophie, and then Sarah, and then Michelle, and then Kim. Mm-hmm. And I agree. I mean, they're just playing the best games right now. I look at them. I think they're in terrific position right now. And Kim is even – part of the reason she's at the bottom of that five is because she is great in individual challenges and will be a target.
Yeah.
Like, so I agree. I mean, even taking – yeah. And Denise, like I said, she's perfect for these individual challenges. And these guys and women out there, they know that.
Look what you did.
Someone did. Catherine Fenwick said you should do ladies and gentlemen, which I think is cute. So we should
the ladies and gentlemen on the island in their underwear.
and suddenly Rick's not wearing glasses. He's wearing a monocle.
Let me put on my ball gown real quick.
Yeah, I do agree with you though, Rick. I think that it's just what we've seen, and I think that the five women who are left, they're not even the five who are the most proof. Kim had nothing to prove coming into this season. Denise, Sophie, Michelle had something to prove. I don't think Sarah gave a shit about proving anything. But when you look at the way the five of them have played, I mean, they've navigated this to the best of their strengths. Michelle with her social game. Denise with her social game. Sophie and Sarah kind of with their strategic and social game, like a little bit of both. And then Kim having to play from the bottom for the first time in her Survivor career, career and managing to do it, find an idol, yeah. getting close with somebody who happens to lose their closest ally, which you're not in control of, but it happens. And now all of a sudden you're in a position of power kind of in your alliance. And I don't think, I know we're coming off a season where Kelly was voted out with two idols in the merge episode, but I don't think we're going to see that on this season because everybody's going to be so, so hyper sensitive on every single word that is said in this post-merge. So I think, I don't see any of these women get voted out with an idol, at least not in the merge episode.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my five out of my top six are ladies. We have the gentleman, Ben, as my number four. But just because we've talked him to death, I have Michelle at number five and Denise at six. Michelle's got options. And Rick, I think you're right. I think Michelle very well was a decision maker in Yule going home. It wasn't necessarily Nick coming to her. I think they were really together there. And see her, she and Wendell are still working together. I think you see her throwing Adam's name out. There's so many names out in that.
Yeah.
I think Michelle looks really good. And with Denise, she doesn't, to me, have as many friends just because from her tribe, it seems to really only be Kim and kind of Jeremy. But I think she and Ben could get back together. I think she and Michelle could get back together. I think Denise will be fine.
And she and Adam, too, right? They're still
close. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Or at least he still wants her. She can... either, you know, take him or leave him at this point.
on our recap episode, I kind of broke down every way that Adam's game can go from here on out, and none of it was very positive.
It's not great, yeah.
He's in a little bit of trouble here. I mean, hey, He had a tough
early merge in Millennials vs. Gen X, so he could bounce back.
He voted wrong at his first ever Survivor Tribal Council. That's not good. So my
I was actually, right at my first one.
Yeah, you were.
Several
you
are. Later.
You didn't have to be right, Rick. You didn't have to be.
At least I knew I was wrong at most of them. I'm just really stupid loyal.
Well, my number six is Nick.
But anyways.
Yeah. My number six is Nick. So I do think that out of Nick and Michelle and Wendell, Nick and Michelle are going to end up working together. I think Wendell's take it or leave it. I think even though the editors are going to show us the confessionals they want to show us, and they're going to show us the one of Nick and Yule both yelling at Wendell, like, don't be so arrogant, don't be so cocky, whatever. I still think that, like, that's a little played up, and Nick and Wendell are probably okay. But I think Nick and Michelle are a lot more okay. And I think Nick and Michelle play a lot more similar of a game. And I think they both think they can beat each other. Like, if I'm coming into this season and I'm Michelle, one of the people I absolutely want to sit next to at the end is Nick. Because, you know, Nick wasn't seen as this really dominant player on his season. So team up with him. And I think Nick's thinking the same thing. He could probably beat Wendell, but he could definitely beat Michelle. That's what's going on in his mind. And then I also think everybody else who's out there, whoever comes back from Edge of Extinction is going to have a bigger target. Tony's going to have a bigger target. Wendell's probably going to have a bigger target. Adam could be an easy vote. Why would you ever vote out Nick? Like, I just don't see anybody sitting there going, oh, we got to get rid of Nick tonight. He was in an okay position on his original tribe. And he's got Michelle now. I think he's fine.
Yeah, I have Nick at number seven. I think, I mean, the only thing we've heard other people say about Nick is that he's not super useful around camp. And that seemed to work for him his first go around. And he has been a bit of a decision maker. I think, yeah, he lost Yule, but he chose to do that. So I think Nick's going to be fine.
That was interesting because he commented the day after the edit about him being lazy around camp. Like, oh, I got the lazy around camp edit. And it's like, that. Like,
but you
everyone on your tribe said that. That's not editing. Like, is it editing just that they showed the clip? Like, there's no one. Maybe I was the lazy guy my season, although I was always getting firewood. But we didn't have anyone that stood out as, like, the person who didn't work. So I feel like for castaways to say that, like, that's probably true. And that would rub me. Some people are a lot chiller about that. That would tick me off.
I would have a problem with someone saying
that would rub
it.
Me the wrong way if I really didn't think he worked. So he's not quite in as good as position. I have my top guy is Jeremy. I think he's really insulated. I think whoever comes back from the edge is probably better for him than most. I think he's got Denise and Kim, more Kim, but I think Denise will work with him for now. So I have him, and then I have Ben after him, Alexa, because I for all the reasons you said, I think Ben is really, you know, he just needed Boston Rob out of the game. Like Boston Rob just got in his head for all types of reasons. First, because it was Boston Rob, then because he didn't like Boston Rob. So I think he's found his footing and he's found people he wants to work with, and he's in good shape. And yeah, he could get back with Denise and them, like you said. So.
Yeah, I think he has a lot of ways to go. And then the Nick thing, too. His whole tribe in David vs. Goliath also said he was very lazy and didn't lift a finger. And it seems, Rick, that the winners recently, at least, they all lazy. Maybe not on season 38, but Tommy was called lazy. Nick was called lazy. Wendell, I guess, wasn't lazy. He did.
Tommy said. Yeah. Tommy
and Chris
so
was not lazy. Chris worked hard.
Tommy went so far as to say that he was actively lazy. Like, he chose to be lazy because I don't remember his reasoning, but I think if you're the hard worker on camp, then people will look at you as that's a good thing versus like, oh, Tommy just sits there.
Yeah, I'll take the guy who doesn't work to the end. But
I guess so.
And another thing, that we're, like Nick wasn't a real – like Davey and them kind of – he was shown on his season kind of being outworked for the idols. And I think if that was true on his season, that's got to be double true on this because there's going to be people that go after it. So I don't know. I just feel like I put Wendell above Nick with that Michelle relationship. I think if you have someone that you know versus someone that you don't know, and the person you know is making life around camp super, well, maybe uncomfortable in some ways, but really comfortable in terms of furniture and shelter, like I'd probably keep the guy working his tail off, especially when he seems like the guy who's also stepping up in challenges. To do the challenges.
Well, I mean, my seven, so I actually agree with you. Other than Nick, obviously, I had too high. I then put Jeremy at seven, and I put Ben at eight. So I have like this. I have a similar mindset in terms of the guys' order. And I will say that out of everybody on this season, I've been very impressed with so many players. Like I've been impressed with Michelle. I've been impressed with Sophie. I've been impressed, but Jeremy is the one that is just like shocking me again. Because I think, like, really, when you look at it, and you look, like, if you were to just watch his three seasons back to back to back, he might be the best social player in, like, Survivor history. Because the way that he is able to get over the fact that he is one of the most muscular guys out there, the fact that everybody knows how he won a returning player season, the fact that he would have won his season, like, if he doesn't go when he goes, he probably wins that season. Because Natalie ends up going on to win that season. Like, it's a big jump in logic, but he at least goes much further. He was totally in control. And now he's taking a different role, and he's giving confessionals about how threatening Tony is. But nobody's giving a confessional about how threatening Jeremy is. Like, how do you do that when you look like Jeremy and when you act like Jeremy and when your best friend is on edge of extinction? And it's like, well, we don't know what's going on with fire tokens. I'm sure Jeremy never got anything positive from that. Like, it's so crazy, and he's still got safety without power. This guy essentially has a free pass the first time he feels like he's in danger. Like, he's so good. He's so good at Survivor, and I really do think, like, out of everybody who I'm impressed with, it's more with Jeremy. It's so subtle. It's these are all like the Tom Hanks playing Forrest Gump, and then Jeremy is like just the subtle, not really in your face. That you're like, man, that when you look back on it, that might be the best.
Yeah, well, I totally agree about Jeremy. That's why he's my number one guy. He what you're describing reminds me of Eric Haifman our season. He was blindsided by Kama, and that one did surprise me. But I remember even as I was working with Eric, just he would talk to me, and I would just be like, this is the best guy in the world. Like, he's so funny. He's so nice. I want him to like me. Like, he's so – and I knew he was easily the biggest threat in the game. And I was just like – I want to work with him now, though. Like, I'll worry about that later because he's just the best. And I think Jeremy has that same thing where just, like, if you're hanging with Jeremy, you like Jeremy. And even if you see he's a threat, like, the part of you that just likes him so much is, like, bullying the smart part of you down and saying, look at Tony. Where'd Tony go? Tony just disappeared for 3 hours, you know.
And I think Jeremy, what benefits Jeremy too, especially on this season, since Rick and I both put all the women in the top five, and Alexa, you just had Ben in there. Jeremy's alliances.
Yeah, it's really kind of like Alexa, in this day and age, for you to not have... Anyway, I don't even want to get into it. You're talking with two feminists, so...
I really try to be the feminist out of the, you know, the three of us here, but you can't...
She's not mature enough yet.
Spoken woman, it's really hard.
First, using hate language like gals, and then having a male in your top five.
I should reevaluate. I should really reevaluate.
However, what I was going to say is Jeremy always seems to have alliances with the women on his seasons as well. Like, he really does. I think that the fact that the women, the ladies.
I was like, oh, did he say women? And then I was like, wait, I thought we... Did we win?
Are we insulted or are we not?
I can't wait until, like, we're going to turn on, like, CNN or, like, Fox News or, like, whatever one anybody wants to watch. And it's going to be, like, Survivor podcasters insult every single woman in America by using every... Like, they're finally going to turn off the coronavirus news to turn on how awful we are towards women. And Alexa is going to be the shame, of the female population. It's going to be like, she let them get away with it all.
I'm ready.
It's expected from Phil and I. I mean, come on. We're men. Men are awful. But you, Alexa.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. Sorry, guys. Can't be the shining star.
Amazon's going to have to change the name of their assistant. It's going to be like Amba.
Amba. Could you imagine if it was...
Hey, Amba, play Billy Joel.
But like, if you call it Amber, it doesn't respond.
Yeah.
Amba.
Oh, that's fantastic. I want that so somebody badly. Make that.
Well, I'm actually shocked at Amazon, because right now they only have the four options. They have Alexa, Amazon, computer, and Echo. And I'm shocked that they haven't made you, like, or given the ability to make it anything.
Yeah,
Amazon Amba is going to be so good.
I love that. Amazon Amba.
What time is it?
Amba, wake me up.
Responds well to Bostonian accents.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Anyways. All right,
and then I have Ben at eight. Ben's my eight. We've already talked a lot about Ben. I think Ben's still in a good spot. Number eight's really not a bad spot. And then, you know, my next four, I think, are people who are in danger possibly this week.
I actually originally had Jeremy lower, but you guys convinced me. I kind of forgot that he has safety without power, so that really helps. The only reason I'm nervous for Jeremy is I don't really know who he's super tight with. Like, he bounced back to Denise, but we don't really know how much. And... I guess he's tertiarily with Kim. They did end up voting together. But I think, like, him and Michelle will get back together. But I think Jeremy has really, really good intuition. So I think he'll be able to tell if he's in trouble, and then he could just leave.
He was almost ready to leave at that tribal council where Denise voted out Sandra. Like, he was probably thinking, okay, it's a little too obvious they're going for Denise. What's going on here? So I don't even think he's very trustworthy. I think he's very trustworthy of Denise, but I don't think he's very trustworthy of Tony. I don't think he's very trustworthy even of Kim at this point in the game.
Yeah.
So, who's your eight? Wait, Alexa, are you putting Jeremy at eight?
Correct. Yeah, okay. Sir.
And then who are you going at eight, Rick?
I'm trying to think who we got left. I think I have Nick and Tony and Adam and the Edge of Extinction person.
And Wendell.
No, I put Wendell already.
So you want Wendell? Is Wendell your eight? Then you go Jeremy, yeah, Ben, Wendell.
Yeah. Wendell was my eight because I think Wendell. He, like, again, whatever's happened in his tribe so far, the people he hasn't interacted with, like, Wendell's super charming. He's going to make camp life better. Like, I think they're going to love him. I think he and Michelle, like, the fact that they're still working together, I feel like makes me think they're going to keep working together because they had obviously a relationship. And he's great at challenges. So I think Wendell's in. I'd put Wendell right there. And then I'd put probably Nick right after Wendell, since we've already talked about Nick.
So you'd put Nick at nine. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I have Tony's such a big threat.
Yeah, I think Tony's a huge threat. I also have Wendell a little bit lower just because, like, man, it's just been so negative. And we very rarely see these, like, these positive to negative turns last for a very, very long time. Like, it always feels like they just get their knees cut out from them sooner than later. I was shocked he survived last week. Not saying I'd be shocked if he survives this week, because it's a merge. It's a whole new game. We're going to have a new person coming into the game. But I do fear for him a little bit more, than I did certainly coming into this season. I mean, I definitely had higher hopes for him coming into the season than I have for him right now, just based on what we've seen of him, which has not been positive really at all. But my nine is Edge of Extinction. So I'm putting the person
slipping him in.
So yeah, Alexa also putting them here. So Rick, why, since you haven't mentioned it yet, why don't we talk about now who we think is going to come back from Edge of Extinction before we get to our bottom threes where Rick will have the Edge of Extinction person. Alexa, clearly you or I aren't very confident in the Edge of Extinction person surviving tonight. So Rick, who are you thinking?
I think that it will be Tyson or Natalie. That's what I think it's going to be.
Yeah, same.
I think that's a general just even consensus, just yeah.
A little and, bit edit-wise and a lot physical.
And I feel like Tyson's going to nail. Although, I Rob could easily crush that snake. Mm. Any of them, you know, that snake, anyone can do it. I mean, you saw myself do well on it, Chris do well on it, and Wendy do great on it. The only thing that slowed her down was her Tourette's. So, so it's clearly not a body type thing. I just feel like those are the three that physically are going to get through the first part quickly and then are just going to be calm and challenge performers in the past and are going to have a good chance of crushing it. I really want Tyson. I'd be so happy with any of them. I love Natalie. She showed out on the edge. But Tyson's just so funny, man.
Yeah, I think Tyson has the upper hand here, especially like Rob this season hasn't been as good at challenges as he was in his past seasons. He was still very good last week running up, finding the fire tokens and all that. But he just like he's blown some puzzles this season. And so I don't like granted, this isn't a puzzle. This is still that snake thing. But I just don't feel like it's going to be him. I feel like it's going to be Tony or it's going to be Natalie. Unfortunately, I think Ethan's storyline is about Edge of Extinction. I think that's just what it's going to be is him surviving that and his like, you know, that's going to be his hero arc, despite the fact that it's all kind of tangential to the real game of Survivor. We're going to consistently check up on Ethan and how is he doing? Because, I mean, this is going to be like an icon for cancer survivors everywhere. I mean, he already was doing great things for cancer survivors. And now here he is. And if he can survive out there for however many days he has to be there with no food and this worry in his mind of, am I going to be okay? And get through it. Like, it's just going to, it's so, so incredible. So I think that, yeah, I think that Ethan unfortunately stays there. I don't really give Amber a chance really at all. I don't really think Parvati has a chance. Maybe Danny, because she's like the female version of Tyson, like tall, skinny, might be able to have good balance, very athletic woman, gal, lady, like very, very good. So maybe somebody like her, but I'm really thinking, I mean, then I put Tyson at 9 here.
Juiced on peanut butter too?
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, throw that in there.
He's probably not. I think he shared. I saw that he shared it with Parvati. She admitted to that, but I don't know if he shared it with anybody else.
And so much about this challenge is just like, I mean, the first part gets your heart racing. And then you get to the part where you have to get through the gate and you have to just like totally slow it down. Like you got to tie your knots. You got to be able to focus on that. And then you get to the snake and you really have to just stop, reset, and like go, you know, focus. So I really think it favors those proven challenge performers in the past that aren't going to be freaking out when they get to the snake.
Yeah.
I completely agree. And you know, so maybe putting Tyson this high, if it is Tyson, if it's Natalie who comes back, I love having Edge of Extinction at 9. If it was Natalie and I knew it was going to be Natalie, I'd be putting Natalie at like number 3. She's going to have Jeremy. Jeremy's got a really good alliance going, or at least he seems like he has a finger in every type of alliance. So Natalie would be able to fit right in there. If it's Tyson, oh, man, that's why I end up landing on 9 here, because I'm not sure which way it's going to go, and I don't want to put Edge of Extinction at the last spot because we saw what you did when you came back.
Yeah.
But you made a great point earlier that they're probably not going to give them this idol opportunity, and if they don't give them that, how is Tyson survive?
I think they're going to give them something. I don't think – they might give them an extra fire token. I think something will be given to them.
It'll be interesting.
Straight up idol.
I think that the person coming back from the edge, no matter who it is, it's just going to depend on how things fall in camp. Like, if there's a side that needs that one vote, I mean, you could end up easily being the swing vote, and people just go, yeah, Tyson's back. He's a huge target. We just saw him win a challenge. That makes him an even bigger target. So, yeah, let's keep him around. We need him this vote. And get rid of some of these people like Nick that we think are going to get dragged all the way in and take our spot. That's something that's happened off topic in Australian Survivor big this season. Is like they spent part of the season. It's like all of a sudden the big threats became people that you're just going to drag to the end that are going to take the spots of actual big threats. Mm-hmm. And even though everyone in this game is a big threat in Winners at War, like I'm not disrespecting anybody. You still when you're out there, are going to do a hierarchy. And it just depends on how people fall on people's hierarchy. Mm-hmm. Sorry,
yeah.
Alexa.
Yeah, I mean, you just.
I'm sorry. You just made me, like.
Smash your spoon against your bowl.
Instead of the RHAP bell, we now have the Alexa bell.
The Alexa waxer spoon.
You've gone on long enough, Devin.
I have had enough. I'm going to eat my damn pasta.
I just got underwooded.
And I think you're right with the Tyson, you know, with you're going to have the hierarchy. And I wonder, like, when Tyson comes back in, does Jeremy look at this as an opportunity? Okay, cool. Tyson's back in. Now I can kind of hide behind him and Tony. I don't need to get rid of either of them yet. I'll be able to get rid of them at some point. Or even if it's Tyson, he's easily a guy, especially since he's hopped up on peanut butter, like you said, probably also going to get the merge feast. Yeah. He comes back into the game. He could win that first challenge because that's what happened to him in Token Chains, and that's what screwed him over, is that he won the first immunity challenge when he didn't need to because Joe ended up getting pulled. And then that put a huge target on his back the rest of the time.
And guys like Jeremy and Tony, who are scared, and Wendell, who are scared of being considered big threats, could look at Tyson and go, this dude's totally unconnected, huge shield for me. Like, if I bring him in, I'm all he has. Like, why do I want to get rid of that guy when everyone else wants to take these other people with them? Mm-hmm. You know, it's just really going to – like I said, every opportunity is a setback in Survivor. Every setback's an opportunity. It's going to be really interesting to see how complicated or simple they make the first vote after the merge.
Mm-hmm. And do you think, because if we're thinking it's Tyson, let's say it is Tyson, if he comes back, do you think he'll give somebody a Rick level of lip like you did to Warburg? Do you think that he'll be able to do that to somebody?
I certainly would hope so. I would think he'd tell Kim and Jeremy, like, guys, I'm back. I can't wait to work with you, except that there's no way I want to work with you. Yeah, absolutely. I hope he does that. When people talk in that episode, they're like, why did they send – Lauren and Kelly are like, why did they send Wardog? That's the worst person. Literally, David would have been the only better person to send. I loved Wardog, and Wardog knew that. He didn't approach me in a way that I thought was probably the best way, but there's no way he could have approached me that I wouldn't have given him that.
It sounds like it was going to happen no matter what.
Absolutely. If David had come to me, it would have been a real talk. But anybody else, it wouldn't have been worse because I loved Wardog enough that I could be honest with him.
Well, I'm curious. Now I really want Tyson to get back more than anything because he will be the rudest out of everybody left.
Oh, yeah.
And how great would that be if he came in and in front of everybody did that and then just like went and worked with someone else? Like, he could do that.
He could just say, I'm not going to work with these three people. They voted me off, or whoever he decides. He could say, I'm not going to work with Nick. I'm not going to work with Wendell. And I'm not going to work with Tony or something. And then just be like, whoever else wants to work with me, I'm open.
There you go. The Rick Devins method. What could go wrong? All you have to do is find four idols and win a fire-making challenge. It's like easiest thing you can do.
And then you become the Rob Goddess.
Oh, you got to win the challenges too. It might not be the easiest route to go.
To Phil's point, being the Rob Goddess that you are is a very exciting, character to be.
The Rob Goddess. It is a good place to be. A fallen angel.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
but it is. It's like how does someone who's a big threat, who's seen as a big threat at this point in the game already, how do you get to the end without winning challenges and without finding idols? Like, that's what some people in the Survivor fandom want to happen. Like, never going to happen. You can't play a good enough social game that if you're a threat, people are going to take you to the end. So you're going to end up with people who the actual folks on the island do not think played the best game. Mm-hmm. And that's why challenges happen.
Yeah, and exactly what kind of like what you're saying there is like, you know, it might be, oh, I'm Tony and I'm going to hide and I'm going to do whatever I have to do. But like, they all know you're Tony still.
Yeah.
Like they all, like you're not going to change. So like, if you're Tyson and you come back into the game, don't be like, oh, I'm not good at challenges, even though I just won to get back in. Just try to win out. Do what Brad Culpepper did or what Chrissy did or what Kelly Wiggles, just win every challenge.
It is. And it's just like, that's what you have to do. Like, I'll get criticized for not being social enough late in the game. And it's like, there's nothing you can do if no one will work for you. Mm-hmm. Like, if you are the biggest threat in the game and that's known, there's nothing you can do socially. But you're an idiot if you try to make a social bond because you're going to get burned. So there are so many big threats in this game. And like we said, you can't hide it. It's already known that all of them are going to be playing really big, which is going to create opportunities for people who aren't perceived as threats. But it's going to make it really hard for a Tony and a Tyson and a Boston Rob. Natalie's in a pretty good spot, but I still think she's a big target. I mean, you just look at her physically, and she's at another level.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so, Rick, who's your 10?
I have my 10 is Nick. No, I already did Nick, right? So
you did Nick at 9. You have Adam, Tony, and Edge of Extinction.
Oh, Tony. I got Tony.
I'm a believer in Tony.
I also have Tony at 10. Look at
all.
He's got
Sarah. Like, he's in trouble, but he's got her. I think he'll be.
And he's done, other than disappearing for a few hours last episode, like, he's done nothing bad to put himself in this position. It just is him from the season.
It's
him
being
him. That might be my favorite, like, phrase before "but" ever used on this podcast. Yeah. Other than disappearing for a few hours last episode.
Okay,
like,
that was bad.
That's like the worst thing you could do, but because it's Tony, it's like... But, it could be so much worse.
But like, the
I went to spy on people and left them alone in camp to talk about me. It wasn't great.
Crushing it.
That's so funny. I mean, because that's just, but like, again, we've been talking about perception this entire time. Like, if Michelle did that, people would be like, either she's dead or she found an idol, like one or the other.
Yeah,
but
Tony, it's like Tony.
Yeah, he's probably in a bush somewhere. Like,
yeah, and all of us fans loved it. Like, oh, he tried to do a spy show. Whereas if like Adam had disappeared for 3 hours and everyone in camp was talking about how they should get rid of Adam, he would get killed. Tony, for good reason, gets a free pass that we should give to all the players.
Yeah.
The best part about that was that I think it was Kim who was just like, he's probably at the well, and why don't we just not go to the well? Like, no one went where
like, they knew exactly what was going on.
And he's still sitting there, and all you see are the whites of his eyes.
Social distancing before it was cool.
Seriously. Exactly. I would hate to be in quarantine with Tony because you'd just be like, he'd be like, Arrested Development, where the guy sits on the couch and like all of a sudden the couch just like unfolds because the guy's so good at disguises and he was the couch. That would be Tony. You don't want that. I think it was Arrested Development. Somebody go watch Arrested Development.
Was that the guy who was always the doctor? Like,
yeah, Gene Parmesan.
Yeah.
And isn't there one episode where he's literally like the couch? Like, where is he? And he's just like sitting there. Or am I thinking of a different show?
I don't know. I don't remember that.
Well, Gene Parmesan's still amazing. But anyway, I might be thinking of a different show. There's definitely something like that.
Well,
but
I'm glad we had an Arrested Development reference, to be honest.
Love Arrested Development.
Yeah, we don't have those very often.
Dr. Fumke.
Tobias Fumke.
He was my personal therapist after I got off Survivor. He really helped me work through the Reddit trolls.
He analyzed and therapized, so you're good.
I can't shower naked anymore. I'm a never nude, but that's something I deal with.
You know what? There's dozens of you. All right, so we all have Adam at least in our bottom two. Do we all have Adam at 12, or do we all have Adam at 11? How are we feeling?
I have Adam right before the Edge of Extinction person.
Okay, so you think whoever comes back in is getting Matt Elrodded?
I'm hoping that they're not. This is almost like when you don't pick your team to win. It's like I'm doing the reverse curse. I have a bad feeling that these winners are just going to send them right back out the door for an easy first vote.
Yeah.
Especially on this type of season. I mean, I know it worked on your season. You did go in a very weird circumstance where you went in the Yule situation. Nobody wanted you to go. It just had to happen.
It was so emotional.
And, yeah, I know. I mean,
it's hard to believe looking back.
Nobody else got that emotional of a tribal.
Kelly Wentworth cried sending me home.
that was her tears of joy, Rick. I don't know what you're talking about. But
in hindsight, you would think so.
but I don't know. I think that they could do that, and I think you're on the right track there because, man, especially on the set, they want this to be the purest form of Survivor it can possibly be. And obviously it won't be pure, but I think a lot of these winners are going to be like, screw him. And what happened when we saw like winners actually utilize the returnee from Edge of Extinction, it was when Boston Rob, who hadn't won yet, but when Matt Elrod came back in Redemption Island, he was like, get him out. We don't need him here. Like, get him out of here. He wants
too much
to be
of a wild card.
No way. Yeah. Like, and it makes sense. You're already out of the game. So goodbye. And even Ozzy, he went, I think, the first time he was able to go after he came back from Redemption Island. So
especially when whatever they get you don't know what they have, but you think they got something.
Yeah.
Like, let's just get them out before they can use it on us.
Yeah, absolutely. So I actually have Adam in spot 12, though, and I talked about this a lot on our recap, and I hinted at that, and I love Adam. And, you know, I hope he doesn't go home because I said he was going to make final three and lose to Michelle, but I have him at 12, and I got Wendell at 11. So, Alexa, are we in the same boat here? Same exact
spot? Yeah, I just think Wendell has an alliance. We don't know how strong it is. Adam does not seem to have one. I don't think that group of three, that Ben, Sophie, and Sarah, are going to defend Adam. Michelle threw his name out. I think when he had left Cele, none of them were happy with him. Yeah. So I just don't know what avenue he has. And with the merge boot, you're seeing that it's just kind of a consensus vote. It's just who doesn't have a best friend, and Adam doesn't have anybody.
Yeah, if you didn't feel like you could trust him and work with him pre-merge, when things, in my experience, are like way clearer, like it's much more easy to figure out what's going on. Post-merge, when things get real mixed up, like that's a wild card I could see myself voting out if I already felt like I was burned by him. But he might end up, people might end up choosing, like, which swing vote do we go with? This person back from EOE or Adam? Like, that's the people we need to pick up. One of those.
Yeah.
The only thing that makes me think he's in a better shape than we think is we've seen so much of him.
He dominated that pre-merge. I mean, if you look at the confessional count, and I think that we've had a very evenly edited season, with kind of the exception of Adam, and who would have thought Adam Klein?
Right.
He has 26 confessionals. Next most is Boston Rob with 21, but Boston Rob's not still in the regular game. Like, Adam is 10 more than the next highest person, which I'm pretty sure is Tony. 10 more than Tony. Adam Klein has 10
and it's weird because it's like 50-50 whether it makes him look good or bad.
Yeah.
But still, they're there. You know. And
I would feel more comfortable if it was Tony who had 10 more than Adam, because I'd be like, of course Tony has 10 more than everybody else in the game,
right?
Because he's Tony. Coming into the season, he's the biggest character on this season, and everybody loves Tony. And, like, so he's going to be huge because he's just crazy. But for it to be Adam, a player who wasn't even the main character of his own season, probably the third or fourth most person on his season, for him to come out and dominate an all winter season, you're like, is he like on the gravy train here to win? Like, is he just going to dominate to the end, or what's going on?
Or is he just giving them that much good stuff? Like, you know, when he's talking about, like, no, most people can't do this, or can they? It's like, no matter what the story is, that's going in.
He's
like,
not gonna poop
like, he's
in
giving
the
you
water,
some stuff
all.
That, like,
he's giving you something good
that has nothing to do with the edit, or like, when it's just like, yep, that's going in, like, whether it goes great or poorly, like, that line. So, he's really, he and the Edge of Extinction are the wild cards, I think, going into this next episode.
Yeah. And I think he's also going to have the best confessional of all time in the next episode, which is whatever the hell he's mimicking Ben. Yeah.
Anyone who's ever had a young – sorry, Eric. Anyone who's ever had a younger brother has done this. Mom, what are you doing? He's doing that.
I was going to say, Rick's probably got a lot of experience right now in the full family lockdown going on with his children.
The fact that he would attack the United States military like that in a time like this – I just think
it's just disgusting.
Is Adam should be that looks like an amazing confessional. That looks like a lot of fun.
I'm so excited. But you're right. I mean, that's another one of those confessionals. Whether that's about Ben or that's about like a pelican who just happens to be on the
island,
that confessional is being aired.
You're showing it. Exactly. Yeah. He's giving good stuff.
He is.
He's giving real good stuff.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So the only thing left, Alexa, is Eliminator now, which I am out of. Who was MVP last week? Was it Michelle? Did Michelle win MVP?
I feel like people don't vote.
Okay, I'm going to give it to Michelle because she's on my team.
Okay. Rick. So
this seems like a really reasonable
process. Yeah, this
process.
Is a bunch of.
I'm actually looking for that.
Like, this is not.
I can zone out now because I'm out of this next.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
we'll give it to Cochran.
Give it to Cochran. All right, Rick. So what we do with the Eliminator game? It's kind of like one of those pools. Like, what's it called, Phil, in the NFL?
Survivor pool.
Oh, Survivor pool. That makes sense. So pretty much each week we pick one person who is safe, but you can't repeat people. So out of who I've picked, I'm going to pick Tony because I haven't picked him yet. So you need to pick someone other than who I'm about to list off.
Okay.
To definitely be safe. So you cannot pick Nick, Kim, Sophie, Michelle, Jeremy, or Yule if he comes back.
Okay. I think the fact that he's a winner, he hasn't been mentioned once this season. Fabio is going, like, not only going to be safe this week, but maybe all the way to the end, because you know he's strong at the end of this game.
How great would it be if Fabio's on the season?
I would, dude, I went back and watched his season, and I'm like, he doesn't deserve as much disrespect as he gets. Like, he turned it on at the end. I love Fabio.
He turned it on. He cried about his mom in Final Tribal.
Yeah, like, he's not a lawyer, but he owned Final Tribal. Anyway, yeah. I'm a Fabio guy. But I'll say that Sarah will be my eliminator pick.
I like that.
Okay. I made the mistake of going over here, so I only heard, like, the Fabio thing. I made the mistake of going and looking at our comments from last week. Alexa, these are so funny. Oh, my God, it's so funny. Yeah, Michelle did win MVP because, like, three people voted, and then every other comment is about how much they don't like Michelle because I love Michelle. So
yeah, we're honestly probably losing subscribers because of you.
This is my favorite is one this ever. New, Alexa? I'm not gonna say the person's name just because that's dumb, but it says, if you don't agree with us, in quotes, if you don't agree with us and don't watch our show, this is why you have less than 8,000 subscribers. So, like, once we get over 8,000, is that person gonna send the same comment? Be like, this is why you don't have over 9,000 subscribers. What an arbitrary number.
Come to you and they'll say, like, I apologize. I was wrong. You do have more than 8,000. You're doing it right.
I'm
going
to donate millions of dollars to COVID-19.
Yeah. Like, I want to admit to you that what I said on Twitter was misinformed and I should have been more careful.
Yeah. My Twitter name is at Lexa Dexter. For those of you who feel like apologizing, hit me up.
Alexa's trying to blame me for my Michelle love, and that being the reason we don't have at least 8,000 subscribers.
It's Alexa. I'm a Wendell stan, which is not a kosher thing to be right
Alexa
now.
I'm a Wendell stan too, Alexa. I love that dude.
Rick, we don't have 8,000 subscribers, but we have one Rick Devins, and that's all I really care about.
Done.
So that's right. It.
Goodbye, it's like my third trip. I've had a great time.
This is your first trip without intern. How did that feel? How was that?
I feel disrespected. I told Becca, I was like, I think Alexa and Phil there, and I'm sure intern will be there because I'm there.
I'm like, just crying right
what
now.
Does he have going on that's so important?
He's then sitting I found at out, home like everyone else.
Yeah. What in the world? Like,
yeah. I wish I could use the excuse that, like, intern's like a police officer or like a nurse or something so that, like, it makes sense he's not here.
Or like deathly sick at the very least.
No.
if we're lucky.
That's what you want right now. he's watching. He actually just texted me and said, Phil, I'm watching TV.
Wow. Good job, everybody. Right.
He's not even watching us.
Does he even have HBO? Because, like, literally, that's the only network that has anything good on Sunday nights, I think.
I know.
Yeah, I struggle.
Or it's Walking Dead. I don't have AMC anymore. But I do like Walking Dead.
I don't know.
You got to have to get AMC back, man. We're at least until the end of April now. So get AMC. You need something to watch.
I'm picking up. I'm getting rid of my Hulu April 8th and picking up HBO for a while. I like... go a couple months with each streaming service because I'm teaching.
I don't want you to get picked up by the FBI, but if you ever need my Hulu account, call me.
Dude.
And the FBI.
And they said that this Survivor specialist wasn't a paying gig. I am in it now.
We're about to go over 8,000 subscribers because of all the FBI agents who are going to be like, this man gave out his Hulu password.
So I'm going to start tweeting my very strange viewing history. Like, who's been on my account watching?
Well, Rick, I think that's all we have. I mean, unless do you want? I guess you said Denise already, so I was going to say, who do you think's going to win? But you already said Denise, so
yeah, that was my pick early on. I've had a great time, guys. This was
fun. This is fun.
Being together while we're apart.
It's also nice. It's like, a new person. I haven't spoken to this human. And I haven't spoken to another person other than Alexa.
I know.
You're not my girlfriend or related to my girlfriend.
This is fantastic. Exactly.
That was me being Phil. I am married and have no girlfriend.
I saw something hilarious on Twitter that was like, I wonder how people with secret families are doing right now.
Yeah.
What is your
and they're the ones who are continuing the spread.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just bringing it between us.
Blame the polygamists.
Anyways.
That's it.
All right. So for those of you who are $10 and $20 patrons, Phil and I are going to finish our March Madness Alliance bracket tonight. So make sure to tune into that. In the meantime, make sure to follow us on Twitter, tweet only nice things to us. If not, then wash your hands and stay inside and don't talk to any of your secret families. Rick, thank you so much for coming on. This was a ton of fun as always. Everyone be safe and we'll see y'all on Wednesday. And I'm going to hit the end broadcast button.
Because I can't.